Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on danger for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media to just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. Straight from Mike P.
Jump on your bike, let's hit the road.
Come on.
Fuck the 5-0, man, we out of control. Hey. A bad motherfucker, riding through the night. Hey. A 50 motherfucker and I love to fight. Picture me rolling on my chopper on red. No love for the other side, don't need to be friends. Get the gas, homie, you gotta keep on pushing. Got an out, chin check, so don't need to ask for the ticket after ticket. Man, I ain't gon' pay. Better do 30 days locked up at CJ. Twist the throttle, let's hit the rolling. My drag bike on my bike, get the blowin'. A thug motherfucker street calling me. Like a mom calls the kids when it's time to eat. Come on. Approach me, homie, like the shit all good. I'm like half the motherfuckers that live in my hood. I'm a 10-year roller to the bone. With 10 in the clip and 1 in the hole. Fuck what you heard, homie. I'ma always hit a bar. My homeboys might rubble, but we never ever fall. At the end of the day, we can always stand tall. The gov don't like me, oh fucking well. I guess you could call me the angel from hell.
On the west coast.
So it's going to go down 79 degrees.
The water's a cool blue color. I got I got sent a video today and this is from back in March, but it's called Throttle Life, the 2013 Timonim Motorcycle Show and a Bikini Contest. So I'm going to put that up in the chat room. And we'll see. Phil's on his way here, so we're going to use little fillers right now. But everything should be good. Okay, there we go. Thank you. They're starting with us again early.
Eating lunch isn't exactly hard work. So why do you feel so tired afterward? Instead of refueled and focused, you're foggy.
Thank you. Hello?
What's going on? Yeah, I'm here.
What the hell? What was that music, dude? What was that?
They were, there was a little trouble with the server. Supposedly with the server.
I see. Yeah, right. I enjoyed the foreigner.
No.
Well,
and,
I'm sitting.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Billy. He was with his mom today. Took her to the doctor. He'd be on his way here.
It'd
be a little.
Well.
Yeah. We'll figure it out.
You know where I'm at.
Yeah, so you're there in the medicines at the drugstore?
Yeah, because, the thing is, my doctor, I did what you told me, and they called it in, and by the time they called it in, I was already talking to the other doctor on the phone, and here I am. The rest is history. So, I don't know.
All right, well, now you can double up.
Yeah, they just gave me my third IV. I feel so privileged. Tomorrow they're going to do the procedure. Going to do a biopsy inside my stomach. I'm so happy. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so I'm waiting for the doctor now. So when he comes, I'm going to say, fare well, because I really don't want the whole world knowing what's completely going on with me, you know?
Yeah. No, I hear you. But all kinds of crazy stuff. There was a guy. Yeah, there was a guy in the town is called Shelbourne. And, let me read this to you the way I got it. Man beats dash cam ticket, takes town to court. Must watch. I like this because it makes me think of Bikers of a Lesser Tolerance and Guerrilla Lawfare. And they're leading the way in doing this type of thinking first. But what happens is just a lot of craziness. You know? This guy, Rod McIver, wanted justice after being wronged by his local police department. He was pulled over and cited for running a red light, despite the officer's dash cam video clearly showing that he hadn't. When the matter went to court, the judge, after viewing the footage, threw the case out and dressed down the officer. Jason Lawton. McIver isn't through. So, taking the matter to small claims court over the time and effort involved in beating his original ticket. He was looking for $2,000 in damages. The 56-year-old resident argues that the department's default attitude was dishonesty in every encounter. With his day in court scheduled, Judge Samuel R. Hoor, looking forward to the proceedings, neither the officer, his sergeant, nor department administrator were to be found. Only the Shelbourne Police Department's lawyer, Colin McNeil, showed up in court, arguing that the burden of proof was on McIver. The lawyer argued that the officers didn't need to attend the proceedings. No joke, they were across the street at a coffee shop. Insert your donut jokes if you want. Meaning the matter was set aside for a future date. While the matter still isn't resolved, Judge Hoor informed McNeil that it would be a mistake for the officers to miss the next hearing, according to a report. So, yeah. They just told the guy, basically, fuck you, we ain't going. And when they tried to interview him across the street, they wouldn't talk.
Mm-mm-mm.
And then, there's more evidence coming out about the NSA reading our emails again.
Yeah, I've seen bits and pieces of that. But, I've been laid up for the past couple of days, so I haven't... You know, I've seen things float here, float there, but I really got to, sit down and read more into it. But I've heard about what you're talking about.
Did you know that federal court ruled that your cell phone is a government tracking device?
Yeah. I think we were talking about this the last time, too. And, I'm not for that because what's going to be next, you know? First, our cell phones and our home phones, then, you know? It's just going to be one continuous thing. If that's the case, then they can pay my monthly bill.
Yeah.
That's
the way I'm thinking about it. But
if they want access, well, come pay my bill.
This was today. The Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals has ruled that since customers give up private information to their cell phone companies, which are a third party, this data is public knowledge and not protected under any privacy laws. The decision is based on third-party doctrine that is legal concept established by a set of court decisions over decades that treats records held by a third party as not subject to the same level of protection as, say, the private journal you keep in a locked file cabinet in your home. In the decision, the judges wrote, "We understand that cell phone users may reasonably want their location information to remain private, but the recourse for these desires is in the market for the political process in demanding that service providers do away with such records, or in lobbying elected representatives to enact statutory protections. The Fourth Amendment, safeguarded by the courts, protects only reasonable expectations of privacy." The ruling stated in part that the Fourth Amendment is not applicable to information provided to cell phone companies in exchange for the use of their phones. It is entirely voluntary. I don't know. You got to sign a paper.
Yep.
Sign a contract. You know, seeking the information for relevance and materials necessary to an ongoing criminal investigation. The search and seizure of phone records of Americans, which turns their cell phones into surveillance devices, is reasonable and not a violation of the Fourth Amendment. I think it is.
I would say it is, definitely.
Yeah. Judges have the right to demand warrants, according to a recent ruling in the Third District Court of Appeals. This would put a damper on persons convicted of crimes based on location data provided by cell phone corporations to law enforcement, pinging data, and trunk identifiers. To date, the U.S. Supreme Court has not ruled on this matter. In the Fifth Circuit Court, GPS data provided is distinguished from U.S. Supreme Court ruling that found the act of installing GPS tracking devices on a target's vehicle was the same as a search that required a warrant. The American Civil Liberties Union remarked that the government should not be able to process or access this personal sensitive information without getting a warrant based on probable cause. That's true, too?
Yep. Absolutely.
As far back as 2007, the federal government has been data mining from the tech corporations such as Google, Facebook, Yahoo, Microsoft, Apple, YouTube, America Online, PalTalk, and Skype. Prism was created during the George W. Bush presidential administration and is expanded further by President Obama. The Protect America Act of 2007 gave private corporations immunity. Everybody's getting immunity. I'd like to get immunity from paying my taxes. What about you?
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I'd like to get immunity on a couple of different things. But
even the things I'm thinking about doing.
I'd like to get immunity on tomorrow's procedure, but hey, it's all good.
An anonymous senior official for the Obama administration confirmed that the executive branch had full oversight and knew about the surveillance on American citizens. The anonymous source said it involves an extensive procedure specifically approved by the court to ensure that only non-U.S. persons outside the U.S. are targeted, and that minimized the acquisition, retention, and dissemination of incidentally acquired information about U.S. persons. The government may only use Section 702 to acquire foreign intelligence information, which is specifically and narrowly defined in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. This requirement applies across the board, regardless of the nationality of the target. So basically, they got carte blanche on anybody. Doesn't have to be
yep.
The non... Yeah, they got...
They're the untouchables.
Yeah.
They get to do whatever they want.
Yeah. And let's see. Wait. I got to go back here. I think that gentleman that was on Tuesday, he's back in the queue right now. But what I wanted
uh-huh.
to do was...
See. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, all right.
Okay.
You wanted to do what? All I heard was I wanted to do, and then...
Yeah.
Hey, I got to let you go.
Okay.
I'll try to call back.
All right. Let's see. Hello there.
Hello.
Richard. Hey,
yes,
Richard.
I'm here. Can
How
you
doing?
Hear me?
Yeah,
I'm doing good.
Good. Yeah, I'm just trying to. I didn't get a chance to read everything that you sent me, but I want you to, if you would, give a synopsis of what you told us the other day.
I'm with the Colorado Therapy Horses in Greeley, Colorado.
Uh-huh.
And you know what we do is we use horses to treat people with PTSD, depression, anxiety disorders, chemical dependency, and other emotional difficulties. We've been doing that here at our farm for the last 10 years, and I think this last spring we got I got really shook up when I on Fox News when I heard there was 23 veterans a day attempting suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put the call out on my Facebook pages to offer free therapy for veterans that wanted to do something different rather than sit in a therapist's office and, you know, twiddle their thumbs. So
right.
We've had a great turnout. And I think the other day when we were talking about it, I was just talking about I've been a therapist, probably the only Tea Party membered therapist in Northern Colorado, very conservative. And I've been using horses for about 13 years. And what I figured out is the root of what is causing all the PTSD, depression, et cetera, is fear.
Mm-hmm.
And the animals help people get past the fear. And then the animals also are a very loving creature, just like a dog is, only they're quite a bit bigger than a dog. Just act as that metaphor to the healing process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had a mutual friend. His wife's girlfriend, her son committed suicide yesterday. He's on active duty in the Navy.
See, suicide is the ultimate of control. And when people feel like they lose control of their life, that's the ultimate issue of control. And substance abuse, anger, rage, all those other things are ways that we all try to get back in control of our lives. And what happens when somebody suicides is they finally feel so helpless and so powerless that they don't see any other way out, and it's just incredibly sad.
Right. Richard, I got a question, if you don't mind. Bill Kennedy, I came in late. I was doing something there. Are any of the veteran motorcycle clubs in your area giving you any assistance, either getting the word out, attending any functions, or starting up any fundraisers? And by that, I'm talking about like the Vietnam Vet Motorcycle Club. I'm talking about the Legion. I'm talking about the American Legion Riders, maybe the Patriot Guards. Are any of these people contacting you at all, sir?
No, not yet. This whole thing with the vets started in May when I started doing. I just laid this thing out on my Facebook page. The Colorado Therapy Horses is one of my Facebook pages, and I drew in a whole bunch of people off of that. And as the summer went on, a couple of the ladies that were kind of in my herd. Because I call my humans my herd of humans, we got to talking about the need to approach the vets. So we started, I would say, in the first part of July, just putting a handout and saying, you know, come on, Wounded Warriors vets, if you can't get into the VA or you want to try something different, then we're here free. We're doing this stuff for free. I'm meeting with the vet groups at least once a month. This month it'll be the last Saturday in the month. And then how we got involved with the motorcycle thing was Erin, one of my herd members. She is her and her husband ride a motorcycle and do the runs, and so she suggested, hey, let's have a poker run. So we threw it together, and we throwing it together for an October 5th run, and it'll be a fundraiser for us. You know, because I have 16 horses and they're pretty expensive. You know, it costs me over $4,000 a month just to, you know, just feed them and vet bills and farrier, et cetera, et cetera. And my wife and I've been, we've been doing this for about 10 years and it's been coming out of our pockets and I can't do it anymore. It's the price of hay and everything with the drought is just going up and up and up. So,
right.
But I'm in the process and part of the excitement for me was to be on your radio station and let the word out and hopefully we can generate, you know, not only some donations and some support, some riders to come to our poker run, but also to get the vets to know that we will do therapy free for them. I want to help them. I've been doing this for 31 years and, you know, I want to give back to them and I just get sick to my stomach when I hear all the suicides that are going on. And Colorado's number one, by the way, in veteran suicide, or at least they were a year ago.
Right now, Philip and I work with our vets coming in, and my brother, I'm Bill Kennedy, my brother Mike Kennedy, and I own Kennedy's Custom Cycles, a Harley-Davidson shop. We have vets come in on the weekends, and they are almost catatonic. They, it takes them a long time to come out. So by hanging around the motorcycles, if you would, being around the gas tanks and the carburetors and the exhaust systems, they slowly start talking to other vets about the motorcycles. If we can make a small crack and get them talking, they want to talk. They mostly sit there. The worst case we talk about very quickly, Philip and I had a Navy SEAL friend came in. 1 month he sat there, didn't want to talk to anybody. Finally, somebody came in, he was looking at a bike, and they were looking at a bike, and he started talking. Today, he's about 6 months later, he comes in, but there's more than five or six people in the room or the shop. He has to leave.
He has to leave.
But still, he's talking to people. We would like to see if we can, I don't know, Twinkville, Colorado, we certainly can contact some of our local veterans organizations, and they are nationwide, but through some of our people, they can try to get some of their people in Colorado more educated into what you're doing. What you're doing is tremendous. Our local VA hospital, they have these guys working on music therapy, giving them drumsticks, letting them beat the drums, and giving them clarinets.
And the same thing with down at the recruit depot, the Marine Corps recruit depot, where they take the workers to the hobby shop
and
they're building motorcycles.
Well, there's a lot of ways to make people healthy, and not everybody's going to recover just because they're beating a drum or something like that. So if by any chance you did have a motorcycle before you went in the military, this is like osmosis, being around all the motorcycles. It slowly starts to make you, takes you back to a place before you went overseas.
Right.
Takes you back to a place before you lost your limbs and whatever. So we're helping the way we can help Philip and I, my brother Mike, but what you're doing is a whole different section because I have no knowledge of horses, but if I was a horseman before I went into the military, this is something I can relate to. So I really applaud what you're doing, sir. I really applaud it.
Well, I appreciate that. And here's the similarity. Here's what that the horse is a metaphor. The motorcycle is a metaphor. It's a metaphor to fear and love. Okay, both of the iron horse and the real horse, I believe, are scary. You know, my animals, we're talking 1,500 pounds, 1,200 pounds, 1,700 pounds, 17 hands tall, 16 two-hands tall. I mean, they're huge animals. So they generate fear in somebody that's in the herd or close up close and personal with them. The motorcycle, I think, does the same thing. It's scary. I've ridden them. And, you know, there's a fear thing when the faster you go you get on some gravel or whatever the case may be. But the other flip side of that, they're both creatures of love. And the opposite of fear is love. And when we've got to heal the fear that is at the root of PTSD, depression, anxiety, chemical dependency, et cetera, then we've got to do that with love. And I believe the motorcycle as well as the horse become that metaphor. Right now, the hottest therapy for dealing with PTSD and out there in the psychobabble world is called cognitive behavioral therapy. And what it is, it's nothing more than getting people to change their thinking into what they're doing and how they're managing their behavior. Well, what I do is cognitive behavioral horse therapy. And I believe the iron horse fits into that thing somehow,
right,
some way, because just like you're talking, I had a Marine this last weekend who was the first one I've met that is on 100% disability because he got blown up by an IED. Doesn't have any missing parts necessarily. He's had some injuries from it, but he didn't lose any limbs, okay? He's 100% disabled because of PTSD. And he came to us last Saturday almost catatonic. Out with the horses, as he was brushing on the horse and talking to the horse, just he and the animal, he opened up unbelievable in just a two-hour kind of program that we were doing that night. And in the beginning of the night, he wouldn't talk in this kind of little group setting that we had. But at the end, he shared a whole lot, which was absolutely phenomenal for beginning and end. Just like
right.
you were talking about in your motorcycle shop, you know, how the smell of the gasoline and everything just kind of finally opens them up. It's love, brother. It's love that causes all that.
May I ask you a question here? This is
new
for us out here in California. Phil and I are both veterans, blah, 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 been around all that. We're here. We are being hit with, for the first time, a wave of women vets coming in.
Yep.
Missing arm or leg, shrapnel.
Yep.
The women are telling me, Bill, we can see a man in a uniform missing an arm, missing a leg, or shrapnel. We, based upon his character, his strength, we can see a man. But flip the script. You men are so shallow. Bill, I got no legs. You want to take me dancing? Bill, I don't have an arm. Bill, look at my face. Look at my shrapnel. Do you want to come kiss me? No. Men, even men that are disabled coming back, we are treating the women like second-class citizens in there. We are not accepting the fact that these
yep.
women were overseas as Americans, and they came back disabled.
Absolutely.
Have you countered this yet? Because we're starting to get, we're seeing a lot of it here right now in this area.
I haven't seen, you know, either men or women with the physical, you know, where they've had limbs blown off. I've worked with a couple of vet ladies that have had PTSD. And the beautiful thing about it is they can go off and talk to a horse, and they can let that horse is like a big dog. They're going to love you no matter what. Once you get over the fear, which is part of the process, you have to embrace the fear in order to let the love in, okay? And they're not like the guy the horse isn't going to turn them down. The horse is going
right.
to follow them around and going to love on them. The horse doesn't care if they've got a limb blown off or if they got pockmarked because of shrapnel or anything like that. And if they can learn that with the horse, then we can transition that to a group. I have a group of humans, my human herd, that I've developed since May 11th of this year. And the herd of humans is the most amazing bunch of loving human beings, you know, because they've all been wounded. That's why I call one of my projects is the Wounded Human Project, kind of a play on the Wounded Warrior Project. But because all of us humans, every one of us in the world, I believe, are wounded to some extent. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we all need to be healed of our woundings. And when you help people heal, then they want to give it away to somebody else. And so they open up their arms and let other people into the herd, just like this Marine last week. He was brought into the herd, and everybody made him feel like he was somebody, not just a casualty of the war.
Right.
You know, this is, I don't know if it's making any sense, but I think you guys, I know if you, I know you're doing it with the motorcycles, okay? I saw it happen when I was a baseball coach in my past life at UNC and Greeley, you know, and how people build a teamwork, and you talk about that in the military. That's all that community building, but you have to focus it and center it with love, because that's what heals the fear, which is at the root of PTSD and depression, et cetera, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make any sense?
No, it does. And, again, all of us are trying to do what we can to help, because my age, my nephews and my nieces that are overseas fighting, actually I got two nephews overseas right now, but this is not going to change. But I don't think we are prepared for the amount of people coming back that are dealing with, okay, let's go basic, World War II. Japan attacked Harbor 2 weeks later, Hitler declared war on America. Okay, that's cut and dry. War's over, everybody comes home, MacArthur down New York, and big parades, everything's good. Then we slip into Korea, and that gets all screwed up. We get into Vietnam, it gets more screwed up. Now we're in so many different countries overseas. I try to talk to the vets about, do you know exactly why we're over there? Well, Bill, that's why they send me. That's a good, legit answer if you're some, you know, Robart. But the fact is, to be in war, I think you at least have to, you have to understand why you're doing this. You have to think you're doing a better good. Many cases, I'm not sure. Now, first of all, I love America and I support the troops. I'm not sure in America today we're doing help to all these damn countries we're interfering with. First of all, we are America. We are a Christian Christian country. We're not Muslims. The Muslims they'll like us to fit whatever is solved, get the hell out of their Muslim country. I've been involved with the military, and I've been involved in Tehran in the 60s.
Yeah.
They don't want Christians in that country. We're sending Christian soldiers over there. We have an Arab walking down the street. He's with his wife. He does not want another Arab to ask his wife a question, let alone a Christian, and yet we're out there making mistake after mistake after mistake. I'm not happy with the fact that we're sending, again, our nephews and nieces over to a situation where I don't think they're prepared for it. And what really I resent is we're sending my healthy nephews and my healthy nieces, they're coming back needing help. And not give it. It's just like what you're doing right there, what Phil and I and my brother Mike are doing. We're all trying to do something. But the government, we have a lot of people coming up here damaged. Guy was shot twice in the thigh, recently knocked off a second-story building, rehabbed for 1 year, 9 years in the Marine Corps. He came back 100% rehab. They said, thank you, you're done. He said, no, I can continue on. No, you're disabled, you're out the door. Another good friend of ours was blown up. The whole side of his body was gone. He, a year, doing crazy therapy so he can walk and talk and do his job in the Marine Corps, because he's not going to leave the Marine Corps. As soon as therapy was over, they said, here's your walking papers, go home. Guy's 26, 27 years old. How the hell can we send these people home? They went into the military healthy. They're leaving the military needing help. And I don't think our government is for our men or women.
Well, and I don't think they know what they're doing necessarily.
Correct.
I think they try hard, but what I found, I've been working in and out of the government agencies, from school districts to probation, parole, and none of them want to think out of the box. I've had a heck of a time getting – I haven't even got through the parole department this equine therapy approved, because it's not traditional. But the non-traditional stuff like the motorcycles and the horses is what works.
Yeah.
But yet,
they,
because we're,
what
it's
they
not
did
a
was,
sit-down therapy. Huh?
What they did was about a year and a half ago, I got a phone call asking if I would help down at the hobby shop. And I naturally said, yeah, what are we going to do? And they said, well, we bought this kid bike, a motorcycle, to put together. We got these guys, we're going to put it together. Okay. But with my work schedule, working on the Navy ships during the day, I didn't have time to do it, but I sent someone that I know that could do the job.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got down there, the guys with the rank took over and screwed it all up. The bike was half done. Then they couldn't get it right. Then they couldn't do this. They couldn't do that. And instead of instead of trying to help everybody bring it together, this one guy drove it apart just by acting the way he was acting. And it screwed everything up. So they just finished the bike, but this guy's trying to take all the credit for doing the bike when he really didn't do anything but stand there and give orders.
Yeah.
Because he was a higher rank than the guys that were doing it. So basically, when they ever tried to do anything, this guy always stepped in and cut them off. So that's the ones that we try and keep off to the side, because once we see what they're doing, we run them off.
You're doing this for your own ego and your own attitude. Let me use the basic advice. Get the hell out of the business. Let people that want
to
help help.
Right.
You want acknowledgement, you want trophies, you want plaques, you're in the wrong goddamn business.
Mm-hmm.
So we appreciate talking to people like you, sir, because we feel that you're out here saying, look, I'm trying. You're not perfect. You can improve your system every time like we are, but we're trying. And no ego, no attitude.
You know, it's a project in motion. It's developing as we go along. My first vet client was a 50-some-year-old Navy vet that spent 30 years in the Navy. Overweight, heart problems, PTSD to the max. Came out to the horses with a friend of his, and this was just kind of one-on-one with him. Took him in my stall with my 1,500-pound stallion, okay? And he started grooming on... He started off by saying, you know, I don't like you shrinks. I won't tell you anything about me. I hate you guys. All you do is want to pick my brain, and so I'm not going to tell you anything. Well, he started brushing on the horse, and 45 minutes later, he told me his whole life story.
Richard, I'm going to ask you hold for a second. Hey, Richard, we got a couple of callers have been waiting very patient with some questions.
Bring them on.
Second, let's bring, who do we got up here? We got Ryan and Eunice on the air. Either one want to jump in and say hello to the speaker tonight, Richard?
I'm
here.
I'm open for it.
Okay.
Okay, and I'm just, I'm here too, talking to try to help him out, get his event going. This is Ryan with Kara Productions out of Colorado, by the way.
Hi, Ryan.
I'm here for, how's it going, Eunice? So,
good.
Yeah, I'm just
here
hoping
Eunice?
To support Richard.
That's the way it works. Once we try and get everybody
get
together.
Get the internetting. Right. Mm-hmm. Eunice, any questions for our speaker tonight, Richard?
No, I wish there was something I could do to help. I really do. I wish there was. I'm just getting ready. I'm going in, Bill, Monday for the hot catheterization.
Huh?
So... that's, I think I'll be in a couple of days.
But
and
you
then they'll
just
type.
Why not? Type us a message here. I don't know. It's a little bit out of the subject. I apologize. Richard, why does a person get on one side of the horse only? Richard?
Why does a person get on one horse only?
Side of the horse only. Why do you get on? They're saying the question was here. Why do you get on one side of the horse only? You always get on one side?
Oh, when you're riding a horse, you should
get on the horse
to be able to get on the horse both sides, actually. And in our program, in our program, we actually don't let people up on the horses. This is all developing a relationship with the horse on the ground, you know, with the halter at the most. And we don't ride them necessarily. The old traditional equine facilitated psychotherapy, if you want a long term. Is a riding therapy model where they do ride the horses. And it's a wonderful thing, but I could only work with one client and one horse at a time, where my program, I can work with 12, I got 13 horses, I can work with 13 people.
Well, Richard, so is that an old wives' tale, or at what point in time did you only get on a horse on one side? Was that an old wives' tale? People want to ask this question.
You know, people always get on the left side of the horse, but if you're training the horse properly, that you want to be able to mount them on both sides and dismount them on both sides.
Okay.
I mean, they did that back in the cavalry because they had to dismount, you know, on the right side at times, and so it's I think it's probably European, to be real honest. The whole getting up on the left side of a horse is probably came from Europe, because most of our riding skills came from Europe and from, the Middle East. You know, it's where it started in the beginning.
You know, Richard, what you're saying, it reminds me of something that I remember hearing, that because the cavalry's swords were always on the
right.
one side, they always got up on that side away from their saber, I guess. And I heard that somewhere a long time ago. I forgot that. I don't know if that's true or not.
That probably is, and it probably is something. You know, the whole military horse use was, you can go back thousands of years, back to biblical times. But then it became, the horse was a powerful Abrams tank, back in Egyptian and Bible times, and then all the way up until, automobiles. Even in the World War One, if you watch the movie War Horse,
what a great movie! I like
played it. A big part of the military. Yeah, absolutely. Can I mention?
Go ahead, Richard.
About my Facebook pages and my website and a little bit about the poker run that we're running.
Yeah, I put that up in. I put that all up in the in.
Yeah, I saw it. I appreciate that. But
and you're also on the blog page.
So, Richard, do you know Ryan Well, the photographer? Have you met him before?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Oh, yeah,
good.
Yeah. He came to my place last week, actually. Hi, Ryan.
You get a lot of mileage out of that
story.
Guy. You get a lot of mileage out of that guy.
Hey, I like you and his dad. They're my kind of people.
I appreciate it.
Yeah.
I had a question for you, kind of related to, your ability to talk to people, being the, psychiatry background, things like that. Now, you being based in Greeley, let's say
right.
that there's somebody that's a vet or somebody that's going through PTSD or any sort of substance abuse. Would you be willing to talk to them at some point, even if it's anonymously? Like if we were to set up a time where you would be on this show, for instance, and people were able to call in anonymously and just be able to ask you questions about how to handle things, whether it's with a relative themselves. Is that
absolutely.
Something that you'd be up for doing?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been a therapist, for 31 years, starting off with adolescents and their families, and in the last 10 working with parole and probation. So I've heard it all, seen it all. Yeah, I can do my best job at answering anything somebody wants to ask me.
Richard, you're a stronger man than I am. I also got a degree in psychology, and I've also been counseling for 8 years before I got in the motorcycle industry. If I can't see your face, I'm extremely handicapped. I have to, for me to do a talk show and give advice out without being able to see in their face, I have to look at how your face is reacting to what I'm saying. So if you can do that, you're far better than I am, big guy.
Well, I appreciate that. I listen to their voice print.
Okay.
I have a psychology teacher, and he's kind of above us, He's kind of G-O-D. You ever heard of G-O-D? God. And mm-hmm. that's my psychology teacher. Everything that I know comes. 3 years ago, I got hit with an IED.
Uh-huh.
Only it was a horse, and she almost killed me. I got hit with an IED horse kick, and I suffered from one of the same injuries that happens in Iraq, and that's a shot to the belly, where your guts are blown up, but there's no bruising on the outside, and so I experienced that 3 years ago, coming close to death. And having my guts blown out, and spending 10 days in ICU, and waking up with a ventilator tube down my throat and dying for a Diet Coke, and had it not been for the grace of God and for His love, I would have never made it. The day I got out of my kidneys had failed. I was septic. It was just a mess.
they cut me open from my Adam's apple all the way below my navel and, you know, took the fluid off my heart and poured my guts out on the table and cut 9 inches out of my colon and sewed it back together and then threw me back together and gave me about a 10% chance of living. When I got out of the hospital 30 days after I was wounded, the first thing I made my wife do was to take me out to the horses so I could, I got out and so I could go hug on the horse that kicked me because I knew she didn't need it. And in order for me to get past and not become a victim of PTSD, I had to go embrace my fear, which was the horse. And I had to get the love of that animal, and I had to love her and let her love me in order to not be a victim of PTSD. So,
you know, Richard, my Irish grandmother would say, God's not done with you yet, sir. Must be something else you have to do, or he wants you to keep doing what you're doing, maybe.
Well, he told me that going into surgery. He spoke to me, and he said, Richard, I'm not taking you home. I've got more work for you to do. And that was the last thing I remember before I went under. And I know he's alive and well. And I know he healed me. And I know that love conquers fear because I did it. And that's what I, you know, that's the whole point of my program. You know, that's kind of the whole point of you know, working with you guys, working with the bikers, is because I need to get the word out. I'm 68 years old, okay? I don't have much time left on this planet, and I got a lot of people to help. But I need help to help them. I need financial help, and I need the word out because I'm willing to work as many hours as I can to make sure we don't have any more vets killing themselves. That's just not okay with me. So, you know, whatever anybody can do to get the word out, I would most appreciate it, especially around the poker run that we're going to have so that we can raise the money to make this happen.
Richard,
let me ask you, sir,
how much of stress is this putting upon your family, besides the obviously financial stress? How about the day-to-day stress of being taken away and all that? Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
It's just me and my wife. Which is kind of a miracle in the beginning. She got me into horses. You know, I figured out back in 1999 how I could start using horses for therapy. She's been wanting to get rid of the horses until May of this year. She didn't want any part of what I was doing with the horse therapy until May, until she met some of these fabulous people from Facebook and met some of these fabulous veterans. She's made a 180-degree turnaround, and now she's my best supporter. I mean, it, just how God's worked in her life has just absolutely been breathtaking. But, you know, it's we're getting up there in age.
Yeah.
You know, my whole thing I want to do is be able to train people and pass this on. And this is called, what I call it is natural humanship therapy or training. And I want to be able to pass this technique on, but, you know, unfortunately, the way it goes, you got to have money. And, you know, the system, i.e. the government, won't pay for this kind of therapy, so I have to do it myself. I have to raise money. You know, I'm getting ready to start writing some grants. I mean, I've got a lot of plans. But it cost me about $4,000 a month to feed the horses.
Judy, you know, Richard, if I can, I want to step back in there. Richard, I'd like to suggest, do you have a local college or junior college in your proximity?
University of Northern Colorado is 3 miles from me.
Perfect. I would like to ask you to go down and talk to the art department, movie department, whatever it is, does the video departments, whatever they call it these days here. Talk to the class, talk to the student about you need to have a video put together of what you're doing.
Yeah.
And maybe include the motorcycle run coming up. Then you need this video. You need to send that out for corporate sponsorship. You're writing grants and writing all that. That's good. But if you want to get some of the big, the fat cats in America that have some money, a small video sent out so they can see what you're doing. Now, usually for a grant, it takes a year. You set the paperwork in this year for grants for next year. It takes a while, but in the past, we have had good luck by having a college step up and let that be one of their class programs. Create a video, a movie, whatever the hell they call these days, about what you're doing, about how the motorcycles show up, about the horses, about the people being touched by it.
Yeah.
So when you send the video out to Walmart, Kmart, whatever the big I don't know any of the big horse companies, but same thing. Send them out to the big horse companies like that, so they can see what you're doing. That, my friend, is you gotta work smart, work less. You can't keep doing all you're doing. You can only wear so many hats, Richard. You got to lighten up. Figure a way to do less work and get more bang for your buck, brother.
Yeah. I'm a good therapist. I'm not a very good money raiser. And I've got some wonderful, so far I'm building my herd, and I've got some great people helping me, the people that are, that are helping us on this ride. I mean, you know, one of the guys that was a client, and he stood by me every day I was in intensive care 3 years ago, Eric Rodriguez. He runs Mountain States Casing in Greeley. Mountain States Casing, we have a huge oil industry going on here in Well County. And so Eric is out there, busting the streets, getting sponsorship for our poker ride from the oil field businesses. His company, Mountain States Casing, High Plains Trucking Company was one of our first sponsors, and those people, they got it. They understand the need out there. And, you know, if we can get more people to, get on board and sponsor this ride and get plenty of motorcycles coming, because what we're going to do is we're going to start a ride off in Millican, Colorado, and go to Severance and then up to Pierce and back down to another place here in Greeley at the Fort, and then to the horses. And hopefully we're going to start a ride up in Wyoming and come down to the horses. And then we're going to have a big barbecue and a free concert.
Richard, may I ask you, on this motorcycle ride, how many miles are you going to try to pull in one day?
I think she said she rode it today, and I think it's about 70.
Okay, something good. Like we like that. To keep it under 100. People don't get lost and all that. Do you have a bar? Do you have stops on the way?
Yes, there'll be five stops. We're going to do a poker run.
Okay. Do you have any of those stops that have alcohol there?
I think the stops will have alcohol at the stops. At the finish.
We like you to a suggestion is we like you to have alcohol at the final destination if you want, but people wherever there's alcohol they sometimes stay, and they'll have one more drink. I'll kick you lose people. At the restaurants or the bars that have alcohol. We've noticed that for a fact over the years. So we try to eliminate the alcohol stops. I'm not against alcohol. We only usually allow it at the final stop to keep the crowds all together. And, of course, safety reasons. We don't want nobody making a mistake and crashing. You may want to, if possible, when your bikes all line up, have somebody from the local motorcycle shops pull up, have them walk through the crowd and examine the motorcycles. If, in their opinion, the motorcycle is not safe, pull those people to the back of the crowd. Don't put somebody in with a safe motorcycle, tires questionable. Don't put them in the middle of the pack and have them make a mistake and take one, two, or three of your people down, bad PR. So, check the motorcycle. Suggestions only, Richard. That's what we do all the time.
Check
the motorcycles out.
I know.
Pick the alcohol, yeah.
I know nothing about this, guys. I've seen it. I've got friends that ride. My best friend, who's the head of parole here in Greeley, he rides, in motorcycle rides. I know horses and I know therapy. I don't know motorcycles, even though I've owned a couple, back in my past life when I was a kid. But this is all new, and it's hopefully we can raise the awareness of what we're doing with the horses. That we can raise some money, number one, and number two, we can raise awareness of what we want to do at the Colorado Therapy Horses for our veterans and for any wounded person. I don't care.
Richard, what we'd like to do is see if you can contact the newspapers maybe a week before so they can get an article out before you do the motorcycle run. And then you need to contact the local television and have them come out the day of the run.
Yep.
Newspaper, we don't need an article after the fact. This is already over. Before the event, this is coming up. The television, though, Richard, that you need at your place the day of the run. That's for maximum exposure.
Well, I've got a lady that one of our herd, a lady from Denver, that she was in her past life before she got hurt in a car wreck. She was the marketing director and promotion director for Rocky Mountain AAA. And she's
okay,
got
perfect.
deep connections with our television and radio and print media in Colorado.
Excellent,
So, we're going to be doing press releases. We may ship some out to you in California. We're going to get the press releases out,
You give me a flyer so I can advertise it in my motorcycle shop. A little ways to go. The reason I keep talking about the press and all that is because there are some people that are going to read about the ad, say in the newspaper, well, I can't make it. But you're going to find some place that's going to be a pen pal or some type of place where they can send a check to help the program. Also, if they're going to watch this on TV right now, this is going on today. Oh, I did look at this. It's a great thing. I can't make it. But you give them an opportunity where they can send you a check or some money to your organization. So the event will help the people that are there. The press is for the people that cannot show up, brother.
Yeah, I understand that. And, we're going to, give it our best shot. And I think I've got a pretty dynamic lady that's volunteering her time to do the press thing, by all accounts, she knows what she's doing. She's got connections, exactly where we need, exactly what you're talking about. And, hopefully this is going to be an annual kind of thing for us.
Right.
I've got 16 horses, and I need all 16 of them because I work with 12 to 20 people at one time. And because there's a whole lot of different dynamics that go on when you have, a group setting and a herd of horses. And humans are nothing but a herd of horses. Humans behave very similarly to horses in a herd. And we're building that community to where the herd supports each other in that herd, just like a herd of horses does when a foal's born out in the pasture. The herd will protect that foal. Well, that same thing happens as you build this community, around that, and they will protect and help each other, just like in a combat unit. That's a herd, and it becomes very, very supportive. Well, you create that, and it's all based in love. It's all based in that non-competition kind of love thing, and then that's what the horses do, and so we mimic what the horses do. If that makes any sense, it costs a lot of money just to pay the bills on the horses every year. And that's the part that we need. That's why we're doing this run, is to support that so we can actually start working with more and more people. And I haven't told Ryan this. I'll when he comes up to do his shoot, I'll tell him my big vision, which is a place. I'll give you a little hint on it. It's a place that has a bed and breakfast where if somebody, one of your buddies out in California needs to get away for a weekend, they can fly out here and come out here and spend a weekend with me in a bed and breakfast kind of situation playing with horses. So we can open it up and have an overnight or two or three days at a time where guys can get away and bring their family and bring their kids. And, it just becomes a mini herd, with the whole focus around the horses, where they can help clean and feed and brush and groom the horses and ride the horses and do whatever, but it becomes that healing kind of experience. It's God, it's so similar to riding a bike. I can't tell you how close it is, other than the bike doesn't, you know, isn't breathing and isn't alive. That's about the only difference, but the bike does the same thing, metaphorically.
So what's the best idea for you age-wise? You talked about you could help teenagers up, preteens, or where do you think that the best impact is? Is there a cutoff? I mean, I would say 3- and 4-year-olds wouldn't be helped with this, but is there a...
No. Although we've had little kids out there, it's a little bit dangerous without their parents handling them. I like little kids to be able to touch and feel the soft tissue on the nose of a horse because it's just velvety soft. But you know that has. But as far as therapy, I think that somebody's got to be somewhat cognitive. So I think you're probably starting around 10. It becomes mm-hmm. where you can start talking and I play a lot of metaphors. I use the horses as a metaphor of humans, using different scenarios that I see in a herd of horses, how the herd of humans responds and reacts to that. And I've done adolescent therapy. I've done that for 20 years, and family therapy for 20 years. Probably have seen 25,000 clients in my career. Somewhere ungodly number like that, mostly kids and adults that nobody else wanted to work with. A lot of people out of the criminal justice system, whether they were adolescents or adults, they're all wounded. Somewhere in their past, they've been wounded somehow, some way. They're just wounded at different levels on a continuum of wounding and the horse becomes a real settling kind of creature. It's like you guys are probably, you know, they're using a lot of dogs in hospitals and nursing homes, and their dogs are fabulous therapy animals. But they don't touch too much on the fear. And I believe in order to really heal from PTSD, just like I was when I went out and hugged on the horse that kicked me. We were breeding her, and she didn't kick me on purpose. She kicked the hobbles off her legs and got me instead. When I went out and hugged on her, then that fear went away. And it didn't develop into PTSD, which I knew it was going to because I could sense that when I was in the hospital. And I got off my antidepressants real quick too, by the way. I didn't need them anymore.
That's terrific, yes.
They had me on antidepressants in the hospital, along with everything else. You know, 13 needles sticking in me. But I didn't need the antidepressants after it was shortly after I got out of the hospital. I didn't have to be on it because I wasn't depressed. Depression is about fear.
Exactly. It's fear of change, like you come back, you lost a leg or something,
absolutely.
You're depressed, that's fear. Your old lady leaves you, that's fear. There's a thousand ways you can get stuck with that. That medicine, while it's supposed to help you, I sometimes think it just makes the situation worse. I don't tell anybody throw medicines away. I'm not a doctor. I'm saying for myself, I'd throw a medicine away in a heartbeat if I thought it was dulling me. I'm in control. I'm in charge of my life. If something's not doing the best way it is, I'll try to make it better. I will not sit there with a drink. I'll not sit there with drugs and say, I'll just crawl into my little hole. Life's too wonderful to do something like that.
Well, I think medications have their place, and I think they're a stabilizing thing until somebody can really get into therapy. And I've seen over the last 10 years, I've seen quite a number of clients that I've treated using the horses that have been able to go off their medication. Now, I can't guarantee that for everybody, but it's a possibility, a high possibility, because medications are synthetic. I mean, it's not, God didn't mean us to pump medications in our bodies, and I believe there's other ways to fix it. Go ahead.
Now, in this age of technology where everybody's got a computer attached to their hip and they can't walk 5 feet without jumping on Facebook to see what everybody else is doing or, you know, update their statuses and all this kind of crap. Now, when they come to your facility, do you have any sorts of rules or regulations as far as, you know, the technology gets shut off? You don't need to be going on Facebook. This is time to basically shut everything off and just focus on you. Or do you feel that it actually helps people being able to keep that connection with everything else that's going on?
You know, if I had a place that was an overnight kind of thing, like I was talking about a bed and breakfast, let's say, I would probably set a rule that the electronics had to be off. They could still get messages or something once a day to make sure there wasn't something catastrophic going on at home. When they come out, now I have people for about 3 hours, in the afternoon, on a Saturday afternoon from 5:30 to 8. I'll have them for, around about 3 hours. And what's interesting about it, they don't get on the phones. Mm-hmm. They don't get on the Facebook because they're so engrossed in what we're doing and the animals that the phone just becomes, I'm probably on it worse than they are because I'm snapping pictures on it. But most of the people don't get distracted by the cell phones, right? And I've noticed that's kind of an amazing thing, because they get in with that herd of horses, and it's like going into the 1800s, you know. There's some magic about it. We really do go out into a herd of 13 horses. And the horses don't have halters or saddles or anything on them. And I've taken clients, a whole group of clients, and we've gone out with our plastic lawn chairs, and we've sat in the herd of horses and let the herd of horses come around and lick our ears and play with our hair and, just to create some experiences to where people have to learn that they're in control. That all they have to do to get a horse to get out of their space is stand up, and the horse moves away. Horses will move from pressure. So there's a whole set of other things that I'll have to talk about another time about control.
Mm-hmm.
How people need to be in control of their lives, and what happens in war and everything else is we lose control. And so we have to help people get that control back. And I've developed a way to do it using the horse as a metaphor.
And I do want to step in. Anybody that's really been paying attention is probably going to notice that you've mentioned you've got a herd of 16, and then you mentioned going out into the herd of 13. And I wanted to bring up the fact that the studs that can sometimes be more aggressive, things like that, you've actually got them segregated from the entire herd. So your whole herd is 16. But the mares and the geldings, which are more docile and easier to deal with, are the ones that people are working with.
Correct. I've got I've got three stallions. And what happened was several years ago, before the bottom fell out of the Obama economy, that's another story, we were breeding horses, and that's how we kind of, kept things going, is we were breeding and selling foals. And then the bottom fell out, but I can't get rid of my stallions because they're my kids. I raised them from babies. I helped each one of them get up on their feet when they were dropped on the ground. But I use them specifically because they're stallions. They do not mix with the rest of the herd because that would be dangerous, because they got one thing on their mind, they're like a bunch of sailors that hit the port. They got one thing on their mind, and so, but they're fine. Each one of them has a nice pen that they're in. But I'll take people, in small groups or one or twos into the pens with the stallions. Sometime, another program, I'll tell you more about that, because that's a whole story in itself of why we do that. The horses I primarily work with the clients is the 13 geldings and mares. And you're right, they're much more docile, and and you know, they've in the last 10 years they've had several thousand people, so they know people very, very well. In fact, I can watch the horses and pretty much tell what the person is feeling and thinking.
Now, with these horses, the 16 of them, and they average between 1,200 and 15 pounds, I think, pretty much by looking at them. The horse eats 20% of its weight twice a day. Is that correct?
Correct.
So you're talking several, I mean, what is that, 6 bales of hay? 8 bales of hay per day?
Six.
Morning and night?
Six bales of alfalfa. 6 bales of 60-pound bales of alfalfa a day. It's,
okay.
If you want to run the dollars on it, it's $72 a day it costs me to feed them.
Mm-hmm. And then as far as water and stuff like that, I mean, they drink, on average, what is it, 5 gallons a day?
I would say a horse should drink probably closer to 10 gallons a day in the summertime, and maybe 6 gallons in the winter.
Okay. So mainly your expense for everything that you're doing is, of course, the food and the water.
Correct.
Getting that out there. And, of course, you got medical expenses, farrier, all that
Correct.
Type of stuff. So other than the main food supplements, what other financial strains are you guys under as far as this goes? Is there, like, let's say somebody doesn't have money to offer you. Do you have fences that need fixed? Can people send you materials? Like, if somebody was able to ship you a bunch of T-posts, is that something that you could put to use with what you have going?
Absolutely. I've got a vet down in Denver that works for a big electrical contractor that right now I gave him a material list of stuff I needed, and he's out there bugging everybody in Denver for those materials. You know, because they all, you know, a lot of that stuff, if I can't use it, I can barter it with somebody else. You know,
right.
I don't use the big bales of hay, but I can sure barter it with somebody that's got that can get me small bales. I can sell the big bales to give me the money to buy the small bales.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, absolutely. There's all kinds of ways to, you know, to trade, to do things. You know, if somebody, you know, just getting the word out and letting people know. And if I could create a herd of humans, if I could find 1,000 people that would want to join my herd across the country at $5 a month, which is Starbucks money, I'd be made in the shade with lemonade.
Right.
Because that would be more than a month to foot the bill on this program. You know, it's costing a little over $4,000 a month. So 1,000 times $5 is $5,000 a month, and I mean that would be heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Because my wife and I are retired, and we've got our retirement income. We don't need any money ourselves. I don't want a salary for this. So I'm doing this free. This is what the Lord laid on my heart when I was in the hospital. Is, you know, give it away, and so I got to do what he says because he's the boss.
Right. You know, another part of stuff like that is you've got to have shelter for the horses. You've got the upkeep on the fence. You've got all these types of things. And
sure.
This program is you and your wife. So what do you do for manpower? Now, you've got people coming out with, you know, the PTSD. They're coming out and working with the horses. But, you know, I'm sure that you're not having them do any sort of manual labor.
No.
Have you thought of talking to the Boy Scouts, maybe having them come out and help you put together a lean-to for a merit badge? Anything along those lines, or is this stuff that you try to keep up with just on your own?
Well, so far we've tried to keep it up on our own, but just like when we get prepared for this poker run, my friend Erin, one of the herd members, the lady that started this motorcycle ride, she's bringing out the young Marines, and they're gonna bring their weed eaters from their families, and they're gonna weed eat around all the fence posts and get everything all cleaned up. One of our sponsors that does groundwork on the oil fields is going to bring his equipment in and you know, redo our parking lot so that we have a nice area to you know, to park the bikes and cars
and you know, the you know, whatever other kind of concessions and stuff that we have there, we're gonna, you know, we're gonna have barbecue, we're gonna have Mexican food, we're gonna have who knows what, we're gonna have, you know, a whole day of fun for kids and families, and you know, and when the bikes come, we've got two bands, and we're looking for one more band to come and play. We're going to have a free concert for everybody, have music playing all day and until people go home, and just see what kind of, you know, I mean, my vision was, hey, let's have Woodstock and Greeley, you know?
Brian, I've got a question for you. So you're talking about going out there and do a photo shoot up at the horse ranch. Is that correct, sir?
That is correct.
Can you tell us about what you're doing and give yourself a little plug and how you tie in there? And Philip and I are trying to figure out, what are you talking about doing pictures? Am I going to look at Richard or Speedo, or what type of photos are you going to be taking, sir?
Well, if he's up for it, you know, maybe we'll start taking donations on that and see if we can't get into it. you know, I've always been along the lines of people will pay attention to you, but twice as many people pay attention to you if you've got a good-looking lady next to you. And when you're working with things like this, you need to attract attention. So I volunteered my time, and I put the word out for models and told them that I was working with an organization, and I briefly explained what Richard does. And I asked for any of the models I've worked with to donate some of their time and come out and do a photo shoot. And basically what we're going to do is I'm going to have any of the models, and right now I've had 15 that have contacted me and told me that all they need to know is the date and they'll be there. They're going to come out, we're going to put together a photo shoot, whether it's on the horses, around the property, whatever. And then through the wonderful world of Facebook, with these girls sharing these images and telling people about this experience, that's going to help to get the word out to the local community to everything that Richard does. We'll have links back to his page on every photo, you know, that type of thing. And when you've got 15 ambassadors that are gorgeous women that love to model that are promoting your business, it's sure not going to hurt. So basically we're just going to step up and make a day of it. I've actually had a couple other photographers that have called me up and said, hey, I want in on this. Let me know what I can do. So it could end up being where I have several photographers and quite a few models, and we just go out and have a good time and use that to help promote it.
Ryan, if some of the
people
listening...
You want me to bring the Diet Coke, Ryan?
I want to find out
Absolutely.
About how to get... Ryan, sorry. If some people want to get in touch with you, Ryan, how can they find out what you're doing? How can they reach you on the program?
Right now, I don't have any links between Rich and I on the program. We've only had the one personal meeting. We've been on the phone and through Facebook other than that. But if anybody wants to know about this, I would say the easiest way is to contact Richard through the link that you guys have, because this is all his show. And then he can direct
They're up in the chat room right
happening.
Now. Yeah, all those links sent to me are up in the chat room.
Okay. And then as far as the model shoot, if any models are out there that can make it to Colorado that are willing to donate their time for a shoot, or if there's any photographers that are willing to come by and be one of the shooters for it, they can contact me through the krproductionscolorado.com. I'll send you that link, as well as my phone number is on every photo I take, so I have no problem with everybody in the world having that. And, you know, that's pretty much, you can find me on Facebook and anywhere else. If you search KR Productions, I come up on the first several pages of Google, so it's not too difficult to find me.
Good.
And if people out there are interested in the Iron Horse Run, it's ironhorserun.org is the website for the motorcycle run. And then I'm on Facebook on the Colorado Therapy Horses, and the Wounded Human Project. And they come up pretty quickly on Facebook. And I think right now I've got about 2,500 fans of my Facebook, of the Colorado Therapy Horse Facebook page. And then you guys have got the web links to my website. And if there's anybody out there that wants to be a sponsor, we've got sponsorships going from $100 up to $4,000 for this ride. give me a call, because I would love to, you know, I don't mean this in a bad way, but I would love to take your money. It would be helpful to get a bunch of sponsors, and we'll give the sponsors absolutely the as much press and ink as we possibly can. Our goal is to get at least a dozen big sponsors out of the oil industry, because we're dealing with, you know, the whole issue around fracking here in Well County. If it wasn't for fracking, the Well County would dry up and blow away financially. People don't understand, and so we want to generate some exposure to the oil industry, that the oil industry is out helping our veterans, helping wounded humans, like this Mountain States Casing and High Plains Trucking, you know, and there's bunches of them that we're going after to give them exposure that they're not bad guys. They're good guys, and they ride motorcycles too, so.
There's a stigma with that.
There's always a stigma with that.
You know, a couple other sponsors I'd like to just mention are the burnout in Milliken, where the Colorado portion of the ride's going to start, and then also up your way, Ryan, up the Full Moon Saloon up there is one of the stops on the way back to Greeley. So both of those places have come on board and become sponsors, you know, ponied up the money and become a sponsor so they could be part of this ride. You know,
nice.
And hopefully this is an annual kind of thing, and then next year we'll make it bigger and better. I'd like to beat Thunder Mountain, which had 40,000 bikes this last summer over at Thunder Mountain for some kind of ride they had. So my goal is to beat them.
Well, that goes all back to corporate sponsorship, and you talk about that lady. I think that's going to be the key to it. At some point in time, the run's going to grow and grow and grow, but numerically speaking, you're going to flatten out at some point, 500, 1,000, 5,000, I don't know. At some point, you'll flatten out. But this lady working with the PR department for you, corporate sponsorship always grows and grows and grows. That has got to be, she should have a whole separate entity where all she does is work on that, because that will be the difference. The ride itself is a feel-good thing. I always showed up. We all felt good about it. But, again, corporate sponsorship, I think you're right on. You hit it right on the head when you're ahead of the game. A lot of people I speak to have no idea what I'm talking about, and they're only scratching the surface.
Yeah.
The iceberg, we see the tip of the iceberg. The money is underneath. That's where you guys need to do that. Like,
one of my veterans who's been coming every event that we've had, he works for the sixth largest electrical contractor in Colorado, and I believe his boss, who's a philanthropist, she's a really neat, sweet lady from what I understand. I haven't met her personally, but we just sent her some stuff today to kind of explain to her about the program, and that's been the hardest part for me, is to explain how the program works, because people think of horses and they think of riding horses, and that's not exactly what we're doing. We're doing a whole other bellywick with these horses to, you know, and so people don't understand it. I think this lady, I'm believing that she's going to come on board and be one of our first big corporate sponsors, because she's, you know, her and her husband own several businesses in Denver and are huge, you know, and she's a huge philanthropist from what I understand, so. If we can get somebody like that on board, then that's going to bring more people in. Because it's just like honey; it's going to attract. You know, it's going to attract bees. You know, and again, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you guys for letting me on your show, because the more we can get the word out, then the more people it's going to draw. The more people are going to hear about it. The more people are going to call me up and ask questions. More people are going to show up and. I got a call today from a young lady that you know, is going to come up to my next Facebook event, which will be next a week from Saturday, and she heard about it, and so she's going to come and participate, and you know, it's just it'll viral from there. I mean, tonight on the radio with you guys, is part of that viral, part of that, you know, how we viral things. And I really thank you guys for letting me be part of it.
You know, you said thank you to us. We appreciate that. But remember, listen, it's all us little guys. If we all get together, we can do something. We do have a government. It's a great government. But there are times when we, the people, have to get out and
Absolutely.
We see something. You do what you can, Colorado. Phil and I do what we can over here. There's people, Ryan tirelessly gives his time and all that. There's people in different parts of the world. We had a lady from New York talking, and she helped do some new laws on her own. And how old is Eunice?
63.
She's out there, and she's out in Boston fighting the legislative people, passing laws to help people. She's not a politician. She's just a human being doing something. If everybody would step up to the plate, and everybody would say, you know, this stop sign is incorrect, or this traffic light shouldn't be here, or we have some problem, or we have drug dealers in our neighborhood. Just step up a little bit to wherever you feel comfortable and do something. Remember, folks, we shouldn't fear the government. The government should fear us. We know what's going on.
Absolutely.
The government doesn't have.
Absolutely. You know, and one of the things I'd like to throw out to the listeners out there, you know, go up to one of my Facebook pages, the Colorado Therapy Horse page or the Wounded Human Project page, and at the top of underneath the banner picture, there's a link to my PayPal thing. You know, donate $5. You know, a couple of cups of coffee. You know, because every dime helps. That's been the hardest thing for me, because my whole life I didn't have to do that. I didn't have to ask people for money. And one of the projects that God's, you know, that he's done to me is teaching me how to ask for help, because I'm not very good at it. You know, I've always been able to survive and do it my way, but to reach out and say, help me, brother, has been real tough. So I'm doing something right now that's really tough for me, and that's to say, audience, help me, please. You know, come and visit us. Come to our page, like us, and then follow us and see what we're doing with the horses and people. I post a gazillion pictures up there, and I can't wait to post some of Ryan's stuff, because I took some neat stuff today about a dog jumping in the water tank. I put some crazy stuff up on that page just because I know that media, you know, video and just the picture media draws people. And so I just challenge everybody out there in the network I got 2,500 plus viewers of that page. I challenge you to bump it up over 3,000 in the next couple of days. How's that one for you?
It sounds to me like everybody that's listening better get on the phone, call somebody else up, and then if everybody
Absolutely.
Else, like our boy Rich is going to be all right. So people listening better call somebody.
Let me throw out one other thing. I'm going to give people my personal cell phone number. And if there's any veterans, if there's any wounded humans out there that need somebody to talk to anonymously or give me your name, I will spend the time to do it. Okay? I love you all. I want to help you all. You know, if you want to call and share or, you know, whatever, my number is 970. Everybody got a pen? 970-302-5204. I'm even willing to kick my Verizon minutes up if I get enough phone calls. If you call and I don't answer, which I'm pretty good at answering most of the time, leave me a message. I will call you back. And if I can help anybody out there, any of my vet buddies out there, please call me. It's free. I don't want anything for it.
Richard's learned a lesson early in life that by helping others, he's helping himself. I think that works for every one of us. The more we help others, we're helping it make ourselves more stable. You know, I'm glad we found a new guy today. You sound like a good friend.
Yeah.
Richard, we don't want this to be a one-shot deal. Phil, what are we going to do? How can we do this?
Just the way we're doing it. He can probably come back.
Come back, I'm saying. He can come back again.
Come back again.
When the run's
Absolutely.
Coming up.
Well, I do every couple of weeks. So
whenever you feel comfortable with that, we want to. We gave you pretty much the whole hour today because we think what you do is very important. But we don't want this to be a one-shot deal. And he's gone altogether.
No.
We want you to stay in our family, if you will. Tell us what you're doing so other friends can help you, brother.
Okay, I appreciate that. And I would like to come back in a couple weeks, and then in a couple weeks more leading up to this run. I'm willing to, send me an email, give me a phone call. I'll come online. I'll come on air with you anytime you guys want because I love you, brothers.
You call intermittently whenever you feel the need, whenever anything interesting. You just share information with us. Call us every now and then to share an experience you have with somebody. We don't care how many times you call. We have to help other people out. And I do not collect a nickel. So we have no sponsorship. We will never have sponsorship because sponsorship tells us, they can tell us how to run things. Nobody's going to tell us how to run things. We're here for the sole purpose of meeting people like yourself. We're here to talk to people from New York, people from Texas, people from California, our European friends. Everybody calls us up. We're finding information out. There are good people around the world. Unfortunately, people don't know how to. Richard is telling you how the hell to get out and help the guy. You want to feel good about yourself? Get off your duff. Help Richard out there.
Well, and everybody out there in the what do we want? We don't want to call it blogosphere. What's it called? What are we going to call? What's it called? Is it blogosphere?
Because
it's not the radio waves. It's all internet. But anyway, everybody out there is. I would love to have you come to Greeley. Come meet me. I'm a little guy. I'm only 5'2". That's part of my wounding, besides getting the crap kicked out of me by a horse. So I'm one of those wounded humans, too, and I survived. And I want to teach people how to survive on their own because I've done it. And I know how to do it. And I know because of my experience with humans and with horses, there's a solution to it. People do not have to go to suicide. They don't have to use drugs and alcohol. There's other ways to deal with life than to let things like that control them.
Now, not everybody can run down to Colorado and help Richard out, but if you're feeling a little bit down and out, if you're feeling like life sucks, go down to the VA hospital. Talk to some people down there.
Yeah.
Go down to an orphanage. You can do things to make people better. By helping other people, like Rich and I were talking earlier, you'll make yourself feel better. You're in a doldrum, you're feeling suicidal and all that. You can't just walk out of it, but by helping other people out, you can pull yourself out of it. Rich has donated, obviously, his whole life, his family and everything to doing something. That's on a grand scale. Not everybody has his ability. But I swear to you, if you do the smallest thing to help, no matter what state you'd listen to me from, you'll make your state better. You'll make yourself a better person. You can stop this urge for suicide. You can stop this depression if you get out, pick yourself up by the bootstraps, go out and help one person. Some woman's walking down the street. She's got some groceries. You know the lady. Walk out. Can I give you a hand? Can I take the groceries home for you?
Be careful doing that. She might start hollering help. You got to make sure your approach is right because a lot of them get intimidated.
Why do you want to ruin my good story with that? You know, people listen to me. You know,
because
I'm trying to say.
I did that, and the woman started screaming.
Well, when you grabbed her bag of groceries, where did you? No, never mind with that one. The point is we're trying to make is whatever you can do, you don't have to be taking such a grand scale as Richard. We applaud what he's doing again, but we applaud what Ryan's doing. There are people all across the country. The only way you can stay positive is to help other people. You know, I feel good about today's show.
Yeah.
I think it's fantastic. Don't forget to put my phone number up on your blog, up on your page.
Okay.
So that people can go find my phone number and call me. If somebody's suicidal out there, if somebody needs just somebody to talk to and needs an anchor, call me.
Let's repeat that number again, 973025204.
Correct.
Pick up the boys and girls. You're going to meet a good person. Pick up his positive energy. That's what he's giving you. He's giving it to you for free. his positive energy. He wants to share it with you. Pick up the phone. Do a good thing.
Let's see.
You think Ryan's going to pick up all the dog crap, you know, the horse crap, or what?
I don't know.
I'll have it picked up before he comes out here. I like picking poop.
That's if I slip that in real quick.
I like going
in
with the stallions and pick poop up.
And that'd be a whole other photo shoot, giving all these models a shovel and telling them to go clean house. That could be fun.
I think it might be interesting.
Yeah. It could be.
Can I say thank you to a couple people?
Please.
I think a couple of them are listening. I want to make sure I recognize he's kind of my adopted son because he hung with me in the hospital, and that's Eric Rodriguez with Mountain States Casing, and Adam Zaba, who donated a whole bunch of steel so I can build, that's a whole different story, so I can build some fodder machines so I can lower the price of my feed. But his company, Northern Plains Trucking, gave us $2,000 worth of steel so that we can build this device so that I can grow my own feed hydroponically in a room. I'll tell you about it at the next show, because that's a whole different story. Ryan has seen it, and I think I got him talked into looking in.
You're growing plants in a special room?
Was that what he just said?
Yep.
What?
Is that what he just said?
I think he just said that. Could you clarify that, sir? What are you growing in there?
I'm all excited.
Marijuana. I'm a drug therapist. You think I could grow marijuana? Come on. Can't do that. No,
we know about your Colorado people. We people know you.
Yeah, you guys can do it now. It's legal.
That's all right. They screwed up, though. They screwed up big time, and I'll tell you next time. They screwed up with the amount of pot that this person can have in their body, and they are screwed. Because it's so minimal that everybody's going to end up in jail over the whole thing, but that's a different story. No, I'm going to grow barley sprouts hydroponically.
Oh, okay.
So I can feed barley to the horses.
I just didn't want you to get hit with 100 emails on how to grow stuff in a room in your house.
Well, I think you stuck my email address up there, didn't you?
Yeah, but I didn't want you to get 100 emails on how to grow pot in a room in your house. You
I
never
don't smoke
know.
Pot. I know.
Yeah,
I know
that.
Smoke pot.
I know that, but
I'm a drug therapist.
You know, people sometimes they misinterpret. They only hear what they want to hear. So I heard growing plants in a room in your house. They're going to ask you what you're growing.
I guess it's barley for horses.
Well, we're down to the last few minutes. So, like Bill and I said, you're welcome to come back every couple of weeks or wherever you ever feel the need, or if you just have an interesting story that happened next weekend or something.
Yeah, maybe a client came in, or one of you heard, or a new member of you heard.
I
want to share his or her story. Please, that's what people want to hear.
Okay, I will definitely do that. In fact, I've got you guys bookmarked and trademarked and whatever else I've done. So I will definitely come back. This has been very, very enjoyable to share.
Yeah, you have. Right now, you're going to be on August 3rd, which is Saturday, then August 5th, you're going to be on again with the Polka Run, and
October 3rd,
I'll put on the 8th. I'll put it like every couple of days, but rotate them.
Oh, okay. And you guys are on Tuesday and Thursday nights, correct?
Yes, correct.
Or just for, all right. I will definitely call in and surprise
Ethan,
you with my genius.
If you can send me a poster, I would love to stick it up in my shop so people can see what's going on. You can mail it to here.
No.
You make a copy?
Once you get a poster and everything together, and you get a couple of copies for me, give me a call and I'll give you the address to send it to.
There you go. There you go.
Well, I've got somebody's email, and I'll just email the PDFs for the posters.
Okay,
that'll work.
Okay.
And
we're gonna bid everybody a good night. Talk to you guys soon, and we just got the 92nd mark.
Philip, does Ryan know everybody in Colorado?
I don't know.
Every time we find something interesting, Ryan knows.
Message me.
Okay.
Okay, will do.
All right, good night, everybody.
God bless, guys.